Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in to American Freedom Watch Radio, our weekly show with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook, and, of course, our standard show with Sally's opening rant. I'm sure Karen's going to say a little bit when it comes to Common Core in Florida today. So, and I'm going to let her kind of fill in exactly what happened with this legislation. But we did have a lot of protesting against Common Core because Common Core is communism. And nationwide, it's people are beginning to get more and more aware and informed of what it really is. So I'll take that as a somewhat victory that we're getting the attention and people are protesting and they've had to start modifying this legislation. But, again, I need Karen to probably explain exactly what they did today on the legislation. The other thing that I wanted to make sure when we talk about why education is important and why having a free media is important is I was just hearing today on one of the other shows that we have a Muslim terrorist group in Texas. And that we know that we have Muslims all over this country who don't particularly like us, the Muslim Brotherhood. But you got to go out there and do a search on the Internet, Muslims of the Americas, M-O-A, Muslims of the Americas, and how their whole mission is to destroy America, to kill the Christians, kill the Jews. This is not conspiracy stuff. This is what's really going on. The NSA is worrying about us, but they don't seem to care about the Muslims who want to kill Americans. I just don't get it. It's, well, unfortunately, I probably get it more than I really want to. So it's really disgusting, but go out there, you know, when are we going to do something to protect the American people? And that is why election 2014 has to be about Americans. The fact that you're an American means you probably came from someplace else, or your ancestry came from someplace else. We are all immigrants, and that's all fine and dandy. However, it's about Americans. Do you think we can get anybody in Washington, D.C., or Tallahassee, as far as that goes, to actually go out there and say, we're going to protect the American people. We're going to secure the homeland for the American people because it is our job. Wouldn't that be so nice if they would do that? And one other quick thing before I hand this over to Karen. Yesterday was George Washington's birthday celebration thing. We know his birthday is really the 22nd, and we call it President's Day. I did a show yesterday calling it President George Washington versus President or Dictator Barack Hussein Obama, and talk a little bit about, do we have a president today? I don't think we do, so what are we celebrating when we celebrate President's Day, and are we truly celebrating all of them? Or just a few like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and some of the good guys where we have these others who are not so good. And I'll tell you something, I really just don't think we have a president anymore. He goes out there and dictates, he makes his own rules, he makes his own laws, he does whatever he feels like. And then we have two houses of Congress who do nothing. And that should disgust all of us even more. So anyway, the President's Day just doesn't quite mean the same. I go out there on President's Day and read the different quotes from Lincoln, Jefferson, Washington. They all knew it. You go out there and you read their quotes and you see, God, this is exactly where we are today. They tried to protect us from this, but we wouldn't listen. But let's hope we still wake up in time to save this country before it gets totally taken down by all the anti-Americans of all shades, colors, whatever you got. So on that note, and this is why we do need education, this is why Common Core isn't the right thing because it doesn't even teach history, and why we need an honest media that would report these things. What happens when we don't have those two things? What happens to a free society when we don't have the information? And I'll leave that question with Karen right now. What do you think, Karen?
Hi there, Sally. How are you? Happy Tuesday, and thank you so much. Folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, on Tuesday from 8 to 10 Eastern, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com at Wednesday, 12 noon, and Sunday, 12 in the evening. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, saveamericafoundation.com, panhandlepatriots.com, KarenShone.com, and VoteKarenShone.com. And with that said, Sally, I will answer your question. Well, the good news is a lot of people showed up at the Common Core, at the demonstration, at the rally. So that is fantastic because people working together is the only way that we are going to begin to eliminate these programs. It is the only way that we will bring attention to what is going on today in both the federal government and in the state government. I don't have the final of what the new bill is going to be. I know there is going to be a new bill. I know they have been talking about a lot of things, but unfortunately, Sally, the things that I heard was, let's go back to when we had FCAT. No, that was not successful. Why would we want to do that? And the other thing that I heard that was most disturbing is that really this bill is going to be nothing other than a strikeout. And what I mean by that is they are going to strike out the word Common Core and replace it with Florida Sunshine Standards. So what have they accomplished? Nothing. A name change. What are they doing? Exactly the same thing. What are we going to have as results? Communist children. Because, Sally, you're 100% right. This is communism to the umpth degree. And what I have been telling everybody, if you're trying to describe Common Core to people that have no idea what you're talking about, it's very, very simple, and you can sum it up in one sentence, and that is Common Core teaches people what to think, not how to think. And education is supposed to teach people, not train them, but teach them how to think. Excuse me, teach them how to think, how to use their skills. Education is supposed to explain, show, enhance, help, foster the person's ability to use their own skills. And they take those skills and they incorporate them in their life. And then as they grow up, they learn that consequences come from actions, whether they are good or bad. All actions have consequences. You are responsible for what you choose. But when you have all of your skill set, you can make good choices. The sad part with Common Core is that there are no choices. The only choices that anyone will be able to make are the choices presented to them by their government. And it doesn't matter whether it is state or federal, it's the same thing, because the money is coming from the federal government, and as soon as the money comes from the feds, we all know how that works. We all know that the minute the feds get involved, and even the state, the minute the state gets involved in something that should be done on a local level, no one understands what a community needs better than the people that live there. So why on earth would we...
You still there, Karen? Okay. Richard, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Karen, are you back? Okay, something seems to have happened to Karen's phone. But while we're getting her back, when I sent out an email just this past week, and I said, when you
Hello?
Talk about Common Core, talk about the common man. Hey, welcome back. Well, I'll just
thank
this
you.
One.
You mean I was talking to myself?
You were. And it's, okay, something all of a sudden, just okay. But anyway, one quick thing, and then I'll hand this back over because we were talking about the importance of Common Core, communism, what it really means. I really encourage people to go out there and read I do not choose to be a common man. And at the end of it, as it goes through, I mean, it truly is what America is all about. All this is what it means to be an American. If you're an American, you're not a common man. You're not a common person. But if you're going to be trained, not educated, not taught how to think, like you were saying, if you're going to be trained to be a common person, that's what communism, common person, that's what it's all about, and that's
right.
What Common Core is. So anyway, welcome
and
back.
The very sad part about that, Sally, is that once a person loses their ability to think, they are totally dependent upon someone else or some other entity to do their thinking for them. And that's what this government is looking for. They are seeking people who will be unable to think and will only be able to rely on the government for everything. And that's communism. The goal of this group is to teach your children to eliminate their thoughts and be re-educated in the thoughts that the government wants, which is the collective, the group, is more important than the individual. What people don't realize is that the group dynamics can change at any given moment. So today you could be part of group A because you have brown hair. Tomorrow you could be part of group B, or you wouldn't be part of group A because you have brown hair. That's what the government does. They change the dynamics, as we've seen with Obama, as he is single-handedly managing Obamacare because there are certain parts of it that he doesn't like, and if he doesn't do that, then his buddies won't get elected. So they have made this a whole political ideology. And what they are doing is making changes. Now, when people are uneducated or they are incapable of thinking, well, they think everything that the government does is okay. And that's not America. America is very unique in our laws, as we will discuss in a little bit, but we are very unique with our three branches of government. And each branch has limited powers, not unlimited powers. And Sally, I was listening to you when you were talking yesterday about President's Day, and I was thinking back to when I went to school, and it was George Washington's birthday. And you know what the nice part of that was? Even though we did not get a day off for the other presidents, we learned about them when it was their birthday too. So we went through all of the presidents all the time throughout the year as their birthdays came up. And that was how we remember our history. Well, when you lump everything together in a group, now you're eliminating the individual. That's the way communism works. And you are creating a group dynamic. The president. Which president? That's why the kids don't even know who was president. That's why they can't. I remember when we were in school, I could name all the presidents. I knew all their birthdays, and I even knew the places that they came from, and I knew what they did as part of their presidency. I knew what their high points were. I knew what each one, because we had a well-rounded history. But this Common Core changes history, lumps people into groups, takes away and diminishes their individual importance, because if a communist decided that George Washington was an incredible individual, well, then the kids might want to use him as a role model and be also an incredible individual. And that is absolutely against communism. So it's a very, 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 very dark road that this education comes down with. The data mining is right there along with it. And the sad part is, again, that people, as you said, Sally, are uneducated. So I don't feel that they're stupid because they don't know this. I feel that they are ignorant
because they don't know, because they were never taught. And that's the real problem. The real problem is our education, which has destroyed the American people and their ability to hold our elected officials accountable, because now the dependency on the government is so great, people are afraid. If I speak out, I'll lose my benefits. If I speak out, I'll lose this. If I speak out, I'll lose that. And this is the path that we are headed down, which I find very, very, very troubling. I understand that Richard is on the line.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Hi there, everyone. I want to introduce Richard Fry, a very good friend from Kansas. So I want everybody to know that we are not just sticking to Florida. We do have friends all across the country. And the wonderful thing about this movement and about the fact that we are all seeking the truth is that we have truth seekers in all parts of the country that are doing the same thing. And it's that ability for us to be able to come together and to talk so that Richard can see what's going on in Florida. We can see what's going on in Kansas. We can compare notes with people who live in other states. And when policies are good, we can copy them. And when policies are bad, we can eliminate them. And Richard, thank you so much for joining me tonight. John, my co-host, is on a rig, and I'm sure that he will try to get on as soon as he can. But thank you for joining me. Richard, before we go any further, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you so that then we can talk about all of the constitutional issues that are being broken by dictator Obama.
There are, I guess, two main places that you can contact me or see what I'm doing. One of them is the Patriot Coalition. It's Patriot Singular Coalition, one word, .com. That's a national organization that's trying to restore constitutional governance. We have a national campaign against the National Defense Authorization Act, which gutted about half of our Bill of Rights. There's also a site called Defend Not Amend, one word, defendnotamend.com. That's a national coalition of groups, national and state local groups, that are trying to oppose this movement for an Article 5 convention to change our Constitution, our federal Constitution.
Well, Richard, let's take each of the issues one at a time because there are so many. And I would like to spend a little time on a lot of them because a lot of times when I say to the people the NDAA or the National Defense Appropriation Act and begin to talk to them about what's wrong with this, they look at me like I'm crazy. How could I think that a government would do that and turn upon its own people? So perhaps you can enlighten everyone and tell everyone what is behind this act and where it comes from.
Well, the National Defense Authorization Act is an act that is reenacted every year for the last 50 years. And basically what it's supposed to do is to clarify and establish national security priorities. It's not a policy bill, it's a priority bill. So it establishes what the priorities are and the specific tasks that are going to be undertaken to deal with our national security issues, including the military. In 2012, what they did is they incorporated into the bill some policy issues. They changed some policy matters rather than just do authorization for particular projects. And this bill is it's usually very lengthy, anywhere from 800 to 1,200 pages. Every year they pass it at the very last minute. Usually the House goes ahead sometime in the summer, and then the Senate finishes up in the late part of the year, usually towards the end. In 2012, in fact, Obama signed it into law on December the 31st. But because of the nature of it, because it's so big, it's easy to sneak things in it. And because it deals with the military, it's easy for them to wrap it in the flag and say, you know, if you don't vote for this, then your opponents at the next election are going to say you don't support the military. And they've used this in the past. This isn't the first time. In 2007, George Bush used it to try to give himself extra constitutional authority to send federal troops into states without the permission of the states. And so, this isn't the first time it's been used. And basically what they did in 2012 is they expanded the quote-unquote war on terrorism. Initially, the war on terrorism, if you will, was established under the resolution for the use of military force, which was passed on September the 18th of 2001, shortly after the terrorist attacks. And it was a retroactive bill that was limited and established that the United States government would go after those people that were involved in the September 11th bombing, or those people that would try to hide those folks involved in the bombings. What they did in 2012, they expanded it to, both in terms of the people it covered. It was not just United States, but all of its allies, and it sought to go after any individuals that could have been associated with any other individuals that may have been associated with those in the 9/11 attacks. So it's perspective and unlimited. It goes forever. It's a, like I say, war on terror. And one of the key components of it was that they apply, quote unquote, the law of war to those people they deem to be terrorists. And that includes U.S. citizens, including U.S. citizens that are in the United States or in U.S. territories. So it's not only on foreign land, but here at home. And what it does is it gives the government the ability, the executive department, the ability to grab somebody without a search warrant, without probable cause, without judicial supervision, and to hold them indefinitely, perhaps to try them under a military tribunal rather than under the Constitution, a civil court by their peers, and even to turn them over to foreign entities to be held and questioned. And it's an unlimited detention period. You don't have a right to see the evidence against you. You don't have the right to inquire witnesses against you, and you do not have the right to have an attorney. So, in fact, your family may not even know you're gone. They can just pick you up off the streets. So that's basically what it does. I mean, it guts about half of our Bill of Rights.
I was just going to say that it is a direct attack on our Bill of Rights, and this is very important because regardless of whether or not a federal law, you know, we always get stuck on the Supremacy Clause. And I'm so glad you're with us tonight because this is something very, very important everybody has to understand. The Supremacy Clause makes federal law the supreme law of the land, but only if it's constitutional. So an unconstitutional law, which this really is, or this section of it, is really not a law that we should be following because it is against the Constitution. It's an unconstitutional law. So the fact that they put this in there and they put the wording in there and they have done this to the American people, when I talk to legislators, my big question is, okay, so you have done this law. It is totally unconstitutional. But in the meantime, we have the borders wide open. So how can you even enforce anything like this? And the only way I can see it could be enforced would be in a martial law type situation.
Well, there's a couple good points that you make. Number one is, and you know, we've all got to start being more careful with the terminology that we use. There isn't such a thing as an unconstitutional law because under Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution, any federal enactment that is not constitutional never becomes law. We have over 200 years of Supreme Court cases that say that. So if they enact something, Congress enacts it, and the president signs it, but it's not constitutional, it never becomes law. And that's very significant. I mean, and that's what I call the automatic nullification provision of the Constitution. Now, some people want to talk about state nullification. There is no such thing as state nullification, and people have to understand that. One of the reasons there is no such thing as state nullification is that there's nothing to nullify. An enactment that is unconstitutional is not the law, and it's not enforceable. It's nothing. It's as if it was never enacted at all. So, but the difference between what some people call state nullification is, under this myth of state nullification, we go to our state legislators and we ask them to pass a bill that nullifies a law. And, you know, they either will do it or won't do it. It's a discretionary thing with them. Under constitutional nullification, they have a duty, our state legislators, the state officers, because they have all taken, the legislative officers and judicial officers and executive officers have taken an oath under the Constitution to support and uphold the Constitution. So under that oath, those state officers may not enforce, promote, sponsor an unconstitutional enactment. So they cannot have anything to do with it, and in fact, they're required under their oath to resist that. The other aspect of it is that because of the Federalist principle is that we have independent sovereign states that act as part of the federal government. The other part of the federal government is the central government. But the states are still under the inherent sovereign principle of allegiance and protection. And that requires the states to interpose, to get between their citizens and any entity, whether it's the government out of D.C. or any other entity, if it's crazy Canadians that come down to rape and plunder, the states have an absolute, unqualified obligation to put themselves between the citizens and the people that are trying to infringe their rights. So there's nothing discretionary about it. And that's something that people need to understand, and they need to demand that their state government start upholding their duty under both the Constitution and under allegiance and protection.
What we really should be doing is making sure that every single person who gets elected to office has actually read and understands the Constitution, because I think that's the biggest problem.
Well, you're absolutely right. They don't. They don't understand it.
They don't understand it. And this was one of the jobs when formalized government education started. There were three things that the founding fathers were looking at, and one was religion, one was morality, and the other was knowledge and knowledge of civics. That was one of their most important purposes, that a person should be able to read and write, and the documents that they should be able to read and understand was the Bible and the Constitution, and we have failed. And our legislators have failed gravely because they have, you listen to some of them on C-SPAN, and I wonder if they've ever been to an American school or what is it they're teaching in an American school, because it certainly is nothing like what I remember as being the Constitution.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, under their oath to support the Constitution, they all have implicitly an obligation to have a working knowledge of the Constitution. And I talk to the legislators of the various states and even in Washington, and I'll ask them a constitutional question, and they'll say, well, I'm not an attorney or I'm not a constitutional attorney. And what they're saying is I'm incompetent to hold office because they have an absolute duty to have a working knowledge of the Constitution. Otherwise, how could they possibly protect it? They do not have any understanding of their obligation under their oath, and they don't understand the Constitution themselves. I mean, I've had both state and federal legislators tell me that a law is constitutional unless the Supreme Court says it's not. Well, that is so absolute and totally bogus. It's unbelievable. It's shocking.
That is scary.
Then it's obvious as to why they are allowing, and I'm talking about Congress, is allowing the executive branch to get away with the garbage that they're getting away with, because they don't, understand, so they can't protect and defend, and they are complicit because they don't understand, so they can't protect and defend, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And you're in a situation right now that's horrific.
And they don't get a pass on that. You know, they're under an absolute duty to have a working knowledge of the Constitution, and they don't get a pass because they're guilty of self-inflicted ignorance, you know. And the problem, the real problem is that you and I allow them to get away with that, and we need to start going after them and making them understand their duty and making sure they uphold their responsibility. I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre. And this lack of understanding is what's causing and allowing this Article 5 movement to go forward with these people that want to amend our Constitution. You know, and this has been going on for 50 years. It was initially started by the Ford Foundation. They sponsored a couple of NGOs, non-governmental organizations. They gave them about $60, $70 million and wanted them to rewrite the Constitution and then go out and promote a Article 5 to amend the Constitution so they could sneak stuff into this new Constitution or this new document that they were going to prepare. And so, I mean, you know, we have got to make these legislators understand and uphold their responsibilities. I mean, that's our job, and really we're the ultimate culprits of this because we're not holding their feet to the fire, and that's the real problem.
No, you're absolutely right. And when I start a conversation with someone about this, well, the first thing they tell me is, well, this is a convention of the state, so we're not going to open it up to any other pieces of the Constitution, only the piece that the delegates are going there to discuss. Well, excuse me, if you're corrupt now and you're not following the Constitution, why on earth would I think that all of a sudden you would go someplace and all of a sudden understand Constitution and actually write or do legislation, aside from the fact that there's nothing wrong with the Constitution? If they followed it, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be screaming on the radio.
You're absolutely right, and what you just said is the only thing anybody really needs to know about this issue. They want to talk about the whether it's a convention of states or a con and who's going to select the delegates and who controls it and what amendments they need. None of that is relevant to the real issue, and that is just exactly what you said. Why in the world would we think that they are going to follow a new constitution when they've been violating their oath to follow the current one for over 100 years? The Constitution's not the problem. Amending the Constitution is not going to be the solution. It's ridiculous to even suggest that.
So, with that understood, my next question is usually, which one of these criminals would you even allow to go there and have a constitutional discussion when they don't even know what it is?
Well, and you know, I mean, that's another thing that they don't want to talk about. This is a political process that's going to be controlled by political people. There are some of the states now that have already said that they're going to send their delegates will be the governor and the head of the Senate and the head of the House of Representatives. If you do that in some states, including Kansas, you are going to get some neocon Republicans that support things like the National Defense Authorization Act, that are supporting Obamacare and that support Common Core. That's what's going on in Kansas. It's not the Democrats that's forcing this on the people in Kansas. It's a Republican, quote-unquote, conservative governor and his dinos. We got rid of the rhinos here in Kansas, but we still have dinos. And they're globalists, or they support the globalist agenda, and that's what's going on.
You know, we have the same thing in Florida. We have a Republican governor who just signed an executive order, you're going to love this one, to give money to public-private partnerships and regional councils.
Well, you know, let me ask you this. What is a public-private partnership? Do you know what another word for that is?
Fascism is really...
Yeah, fascism. That's what it is. It's fascism. And what we have today is we don't have the good old-fashioned Nazi fascism, you know, where the government controls business. Now we have neo-fascism where the business controls government. And that's exactly what's going on, and that's why we have Brownback here in Kansas, because his crony capitalist friends were pushing it so they could get the money. They're going to make a lot of money out of this. So that's what it is. And when you talk about the, and I know you know this better than most people in the country, and you educated me on some of this. When you talk about these regional councils, you're talking about regional Soviets. That's a Soviet Union style of government, and that's what they're imposing upon us. And like in Kansas, the number one supporter of sustainable development, and it's Soviet councils, it's Soviet governmental groups, is the governor himself, who's supposed to be a conservative.
Yes, we have the same thing happening in Florida. So this seems to be that they have all been to the same school, and they have all read the same book, and they're all coming from the same place. And it's, folks, time to make a change and pay attention to the actions of the people, because the biggest issue that we're going to be facing this year in Florida is massive, and I do mean massive, capital, underlined, bold letters, red, whatever you want to do, massive land grabs. They are after our land like you would not believe. And I
absolutely
believe they are looking at Florida. They want $19 billion, billion with a B, to give to a group called Florida Forever, and they want this done as an amendment to the Constitution. So this $19 billion will last over a 10-year period, so it's $2 billion a year, for Florida Forever to purchase and control and maintain land.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that sentence in either the Florida Constitution or the U.S. Constitution. And
well, what they're doing, it violates Article 4 of the Constitution that guarantees us a Republican form of government. That's
exactly
what's going on, and the federal government's behind it. Some of that $19 billion that you're talking about is going to be federal money. So I mean, it's both the federal government and the state government are once again complicit in undermining our liberty and changing our form of government. That's what's going on.
Well, this is, and you are right, this is up to the people, and this is so important that the people get educated, understand what is going on, because you take the school and you put it together what's going on with the government, and now you have a society that thinks that that's okay. And that's the real problem when they change the school. Because if you think about it, what is the common denominator? What is the common thread that every American does throughout their life? Every single American does this no matter what. They spend some time in school. Doesn't matter whether they're homeschool, whether they're private school, it doesn't make any difference. But they spend some time at school. And the minute they spend some time at school and they get a history that has been changed and a constitution that has been altered, came over. So this is where we, the people, have to become superstars and demand that this gets stopped. And talking about it, we are, I think we're past talking about it. And I think the action part is what is most important. And demonstrations are wonderful, but nothing acts better than money. And that's a bad part of we the people. Because we will hear somebody, this person is, well, let's take Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance feeds the progressives. Half of his profit, the owner of Progressive Insurance, goes towards funding groups for progressive legislation. And yet, I have friends that are conservative that have Progressive Insurance. And I ask them why.
And their answer was, because it's cheap. Well,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to pay attention to what cheap really means. And sometimes you have to pay attention, and I won't say sometimes, all the time. This is where the consequences of your actions come in. If I'm paying somebody and they are turning around and putting in place mechanisms and programs that steal my land, that erode my liberty and freedom, and that destroy the country and our economy, then is that cheap? Not.
They certainly undervalue liberty is all I can say is when they do that, they're undervaluing liberty.
I don't think they understand liberty. I really don't.
No, I don't think, yeah, I don't think most people give much thought to it at all. They don't really understand what it's about. I think you're right. That's sad.
And I think that comes from the school again. And I go back now what I'm doing when we talk about programs and we talk about things like that, I usually say, and where does that come from? And how did you learn that? And how did you know that? And I'm getting the people to admit that these things are coming out of the schools. And
yeah.
Unlike most people thought, well, it's only in college. No, 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 no. By the time the kid gets to college, it's too late. These programs are being instituted in elementary school, and now they're starting pre-K. So we
yeah.
have the communist idea of womb-to-tomb education, of womb-to-tomb indoctrination, because you certainly can't call it education. But it's learning by omission. And what they are doing is redefining the words, redefining the terminology, and actually teaching our kids that they should be doing more, but getting less is better. And they will never achieve what their parents achieved. They'll never be able to buy what their parents could buy. They won't exist. Things won't exist anymore.
Well, if you look at what's going on, I mean, this just amazes me. I just went through parent-teacher conferences. The homework is never late. The class average is usually a high B or a low A. They can do extra credit. There's no accountability for not doing it right, you know, getting it done on time. And it's like you say, they don't teach them to think. They're teaching them what to think. It's unbelievable, and we just sit around and let this happen. And you know, we're fighting it now with Common Core, which is really sustainable education. That's what it is,
mm-hmm.
bought and paid for by Bill Gates and his wife, who are also paying for the UN's educational program in the world. They spend about $5 to $7 billion on that. That's all it is. It's sustainable development. It's sustainable education. And they're teaching people what to think, not how to think. And, you know, we just, there's so much money in it. Our politicians don't care. The majority of people here in Kansas don't want it, don't want anything to do with it, but they're going to push it on us. And that's why I say that the remedy that we need to have either for any of this stuff is we need to be sure that our state constitutions are amended so the citizens have the right of referendum and initiative and the right to do recall so we can get rid of every public servant from the dog catcher to the governor. You know, I mean, the problem is they don't fear God, so they don't care about their oath of office and they don't care about their oath to support the Constitution and they don't fear the wrath of the people. I don't know how you put the fear of God into them, but I know how to put the fear of the people into them, and a recall is a long ways in that direction.
That's a very powerful tool. And I don't believe, Sally, I don't believe we have a recall in Florida.
I think that there actually is a recall, but it's so tedious or whatever, it's basically useless. It's, you know, it's so many things. The system has been so rigged against us in every which way. We know elections are so corrupt in Florida. It's one of the, and I know I ran for office in Florida. The system is so rigged against us, and that's why, you know, this Operation American Spring, I'm trying to figure, is that the solution? What is it that we're going to have to truly do to to take this government back, because they have got such a stranglehold on it. It's just absolutely unbelievable, the stranglehold. And I heard somebody say once, and I tend to agree. They said it's not going to be the American people who are going to save this country. It's going to be more to do with the American immigrants, the ones who recently came here legally, who actually left an oppressive government and who actually understand the difference of liberty and communism and oppression. Because starting with the baby boomers and the next generation, they don't understand sacrifice. They don't understand liberty. They don't understand what it's like to not have a cell phone. They don't understand what it's like to not have cable. They can't truly appreciate what is happening right now. All they want to do is watch a Super Bowl game. This mentality, the fall of the Roman Empire, it just mimics it across the board. And that's why there's going to me, I would love to think we could solve it at the ballot box, but the system is so corrupt. How do we do it at the ballot box? Charlie Klein and I, a few years back, put the case to the FBI, which, of course, they wouldn't do anything because they're part of the problem. We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. The FBI does have the right to investigate corrupt elections, and we can prove the elections are corrupt in so many ways, but, of course, the FBI is not going to do it either. The courts are so corrupt. You go over and over again because it is so far, so out of control, and that this is my frustration. Referencing the Constitutional Convention, I understand that piece completely, the risk of having something else truly come out of it. So I understand that piece. But this Operation Spring, I also understand there's a very big risk that this dictator that's in there now has corrupted our military, totally ignores the terrorists that are right here on this homeland. And will the military turn against the American people now? I really don't know what we're going to do to take it back. I keep trying to say what is truly the best option. And right now I think the American Operation Spring, Operation American Spring, is going to be the best chance to do something, because it's going to have to be something massive where a lot of people are involved. I don't know. This is kind of where I'm at. I know I kind of changed subjects there, but we're talking about this stuff, and I just kind of had to throw some other things out there that what do we do with the disaster we have in place, the stranglehold they have on us today, to take it back?
Well, Richard, what is your thought?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a Bible verse that says, like a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. I've sat in on two GOP meetings here. We had a federal senator to come and talk. And he was talking about, he made the statement, he said, this generation has given away more liberty than any other generation in the history of America. And then he went on about how bad Obama was, and Obama was becoming a dictator. This is a federal senator that voted for the Patriot Act that gutted our Fourth Amendment rights. This is a senator that voted for the NATO that gutted our Bill of Rights. And I see all these GOP grassroots people standing there clapping and applauding this guy when they should have been up screaming at him for undercutting their personal rights. And that's what it is. He's spewing forth his vomit, and they're there lapping it up like they've done year after year after year, rather than challenging him on the fact that he's the problem. Obama isn't the problem. George Bush has done as much or more to hurt this country as Obama ever had. In fact, the election of Obama has been great for America, because it at least got some people to get up off their butts and do something about it. But in terms of the spending, Bush put us more debt than any other president before Obama. And it's not a Democrat and Republican problem. It's an American problem. It's our problem, because we're not taking care of it. And we sit there in these little meetings and let these politicians like Senator Roberts tell us that it's the Democrats and it's Obama that's doing it. And he's got blood on his hands. This man's been up there for years. He's never done anything to shut down the borders. And since 9/11, we've had over 120,000 of our fellow citizens that have been slaughtered at the hands of criminal aliens because they refused to shut down the borders and do anything about immigration. So, and what are they proposed to do now? They're proposing to legalize illegals. That's not the rule of law. That's the whim of man. And why do we put up with it, you know?
Can I mention one thing?
I don't know.
Excuse me, Karen, just one quick thing, because you mentioned the bushes, and I got to say this. You know, I don't know if either of you saw this thing, and I didn't see the whole thing, but Fox News, I'm going to write some kind of an article about the fox that's guarding the GOP hen house, and they had a special about her, George H.W. Bush, how wonderful he is, and all this other stuff, and they never teach, and this is Fox News, who doesn't go, and of course we know the kids don't learn it in school either, don't know the truth about the Bush family and the communism, the aiding of Hitler, and of course, you know, they're all propping up John Ellis Bush, Jebby out there, to who's the Common Core communist himself, and who wants to bring in more illegals because they're more fertile and they're good workers. I mean, it's just terrible. And this is Fox News that's supposed to be conservative, and you're so right. Neither party. It's about being American.
Well,
when are we going to start being Americans?
Fox News has not been conservative, never was conservative. It was always set up as an operative, a political operative. And in the last 3 or 4 years, it's been very clear. I mean, look at the people that have supported the NADA, this gutting of our Bill of Rights. Sean Hannity supported it. Glenn Beck supports. I mean, look at all these people. And who's supporting the Constitutional Convention now? Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. I mean, Krautheimer, I think. You can just go down the row and check them off. Fox News now is like the rest of the news. They put a different spin on things to try to attack attract the conservatives. But the bottom line is they're a change agent, and they're working for the globalist people. That's what they're doing. They're working for the globalists. And that's what the Bushes are. The Bushes have always been globalists, as is Obama. The only difference is that the Bushes and the conservative Republicans, quote-unquote, want a fascist kind of government, and the progressives want a socialist kind of government. But no matter which way you go, we're going to be in the stew pot. That's the bottom line of it.
Yes. Yes, we are. But the good news is, and I like to look at good news, 70% to 80%, and that number never changes. It is absolutely amazing. 70% to 80% of the people are fed up. I believe the problem is the lack of education is causing the people to not be able to grasp what's behind all of this. And they've been trained through this lack of education what to think, and they're being fed what to think. And
well,
because of their inability of thinking, they don't grasp anything beyond what's in front of them that minute.
That's not completely true. I do agree with it, but it's not completely true, because I encounter these grassroots patriot types that do understand what's going on, and they may not understand it to the extent that you and I do. There's very few people that do that, but they do understand what's going on. I had a guy in a presentation I did, he stands up at the end of it and he says, what you're telling us, the bottom line is these people aren't following the oath of office. Well, whose responsibility is it to make them do that? And I said, well, it's your responsibility. He goes, well, that'll never happen then because nobody get off their butt. And I'm saying, but what are you doing? What are you doing personally to make sure it happens? That we have this sense of collective responsibility. Our patriotic and moral responsibility is not collective. A collective responsibility is no responsibility at all. It's a personal, private responsibility that we owe to our fellow citizens, that we owe to the Constitution, and that we owe to our God. And you can't look in your rearview mirror and say, is anybody behind me? If I'd have done that, I wouldn't have been involved in any of this. You have to just get out there and realize it's your job to do what you can, when you can, and to do it.
Well, that's why I'm telling everybody now that if you are not an activist, you're a victim, and you are a victim of yourself because you've created that victimhood. And there is absolutely no excuse for people to do nothing and complain. There are so many avenues right now that everybody can do something, and to do nothing and then be a complainer, you reach a point where the discussion has to end, the action has to begin,
And we should be at the spot right now where the action is. And I'm not kind when people, when I speak and people ask me, well, how did we get here and what that, you know, and what can we do about it? My first thing is go to the mirror, look in the mirror, and say, I did this. This is my doing. And once you accept that and you accept that responsibility, then you can make the change. But if you're unwilling to accept the responsibility that you did it, you did nothing, you allowed it to happen, you can't get to the next step. And that's the part that bothers me so much, is because of, go back again, the lack of education of the Constitution, the lack of knowledge of the Constitution. People have no idea what they are entitled to, no idea what this country offers them, no idea, and then they put it in the hands of the same people over and over again. Someone sent me from, I was on an interview the other day in Canada, and the woman that was interviewing me sent me a video, which I sent out today. And it was from Tommy Sullivan. Tommy Sullivan, 1944, he was Donald Sutherland's father, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather. And he did a video, and it was called Mouseland. And in the video, he said, the mice were the common folk, and the mice kept on electing as their leaders cats. And those were the leaders. And when they wanted to make a change, instead of voting for a black cat, they voted for a red cat. And the red cats, well, they were going to help the people. So what did the red cats do? The red cats, they made a stipulation on the size of the mouse hole. Every cat could put one paw in. Every cat would be able to reach so much. Well, the mice didn't like that. So they elected another cat, the white cat. And what did the white cats do? Well, they changed the shape of the mouse hole. So each time they did damage, the people went back and elected the same cat over and over and over again. And that was in 1944. So look at what we have done from 1944 to today. We are in the same spot over and over and over again. And that's why one of the things that I've been doing and you've been doing is pushing people, asking, begging, pleading, run for office. Make that change. It doesn't matter what elected official office you're in, but we need us guys. I cannot understand. I'm running for office. I cannot understand. I had an interview one of the papers. And he said, well, your opponent, this one collected $47,000, and this one collected $49,000, and you're not a serious candidate because you haven't collected any money. And I said, no, I'm busy collecting people. Money can't vote. People vote. And when I started walking around and going and meeting people, in the last 5 days, I was going around and talking and meeting business people, and they all told me the same thing. You're the first politician that has come into our community in the last 20 years. How can you work with representatives if you never contact them? How do they know what you want them to represent if you never talk to them? And this is our fault. This is our doing. But before we say another word, we are going to take a couple of minute break, and we are going to say that this is American Freedom Watch Radio, and you are listening to Karen Schoen, Richard Fry, Sally Baptiste, and we are on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, every Tuesday from 9 to 10 Eastern, and on Red State Talk Radio, Wednesday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and Sunday, 12 o'clock in the evening. Please visit our website, agenda21today.com, saveamericafoundation.com, panhandlepatriots.com, karenschoen.com, and votekarenschoen.com. Richard, let's hear your websites again so people know where to find you.
The Article 5 website is defendnotamend1word.com, defendnotamend.com. And then the other site is Patriot, singular, patriotcoalition.com.
Okay. Now, we briefly touched on regional councils and regionalism and the danger of regionalism. And I'm finding that what I believe is probably one of the biggest and worst and most egregious unconstitutional act is the promotion of regions. And Richard, you touched on it before on Article 4, Section 4. And since you're the attorney, could you explain to everyone why regionalism and regional councils are so unconstitutional?
Well, the problem is we're supposed to have a representative government. We elect the people that enact our laws for us according to our will within the bounds of the Constitution. What they do with these regional Soviets is they have people, they are not elected to these Soviets, to these councils. Now, some of them may be elected to people. So, for instance, you may have a city commissioner or a county commissioner that's appointed, but nobody's elected to the Soviet. And so, that, you know, they don't answer to anybody, and that's really the problem. And, you know, what they're doing now is they are setting up these Soviets from the national government to interstate, to inner city, inner county, so you have county-state governments that are doing it. And then what they do is they, for instance, will enter into agreements with the EPA and sign away, in essence, the sovereignty of the state or the county to the EPA to have the final say on what the comprehensive planning may be or what water regulations they're going to have. And again, they don't answer to the people. And I've been in some of these meetings. They could care less because you can't vote them out. You know, they're appointed. You can't vote them out. And I've seen them do this in Winergy here in Kansas, where British Petroleum came in, changed the laws in the county that would have enabled the people to protect their property rights as to these big electric generation facilities they call windmills. And then they turn it over to an unelected board, a council, and the people go in there and complain. There's nothing you can do. I mean, they're immune. You can't touch them. So why do they care? So that's it. That's why it's unconstitutional. It's not a representative form of government, and that's what our government now. That's what the Bushes and the Obamas and all the rest of them are pushing us into.
Right, and what can we do about it is the big issue, because recently as I was driving around, I began to talk to some of the farmers, and the horror stories that they are telling me about water management, and of course what they are doing is right now they are, water management is after the land. So the ultimate goal is the land. And they have a variety of mechanisms that they're going to use to get it. One of the things is they're putting meters on the private wells of the private individuals who own the land. Now, when you own land in America, you were supposed to get the rights to what was above it and what is below it. We seem to have forgotten that, because the water management district now feels that they control all of the water. The original water that they were supposed to control were the navigable waters, meaning the big rivers and the big bodies of lakes. What has happened as things have progressed and the overreach is getting worse, they are now regulating puddles. You have a puddle on your property, they'll come on your property and tell you have a wetland or whatever, something, they'll make up a thing. But the ultimate goal is they want your land. What they're doing is asking people, a farmer who is strapped for cash right now,
to enter into an agreement for an easement. They'll put a retention pond on the easement, not clean it, not take care of it, and when the retention pond floods, they'll turn around to the farmer, and instead of doing something to fix the pond, they'll say to the farmer, "Want to sell your land?" So this is a new nuance that has come, I believe, out of the Bush and Obama administration, because it was started with George 41. When he signed on to Agenda 21, and the control of water and land is high on their priority list. We have no money right now in America. There is no money. Everything we are doing is deficit spending. I don't understand where the brains are, and that's really my question. Where are the brains of Congress? When the House of Representatives, in every document that you read, Federalist Papers, old writing, the purpose of the House of Representatives was to be the people's house and to control the purse. You can't tell me that there's no mechanism for them to stop funding executive orders. There's no mechanism for stopping these regional council, there's no mechanism for cutting the funding. Doesn't make sense.
To begin with, it's not, in some of these cases that you're talking about, it's not even an issue of funding. It's an issue of impeachment because they're violating the Constitution. Of course, the problem is that Congress is involved with it as well, and they're involved with it for the same reasons, because big money interest is funding their campaigns and everything else, and I mean, that's where the corruption is. And so until we can take it back, and there's no way to take the federal government back. You just can't. We, the people, can't do it. Yeah, we got to get the states on board, and we got to get control of the states to do it. That's all there is to it. There is no other way.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But it's not a funding issue. It's an impeachment issue. And, I mean, even Jefferson said, this is how long it's been going on. Even Jefferson said that the judiciary was becoming a tyrant. And the problem is that Congress didn't utilize impeachment. That's why impeachment was there. If they're making decisions that don't comply with the Constitution, impeach them and pull their butts out of the office. And, you know, they don't do it. So we've got to do it. We the people, that's why we need a recall. Because the Congress won't impeach themselves, and they won't impeach the president. We've got to start doing it ourselves. We've got to do our own impeachment, and it's called recall.
What do you think of the citizen grand jury? Is that an approach?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about, because there's one aspect of the citizen's grand jury that's promoted by the sovereign citizens that I view as an anarchist group that think that the rights of the citizens have been put into a trust and the government is not the real government, it's a corporation. And therefore, they don't have to follow the law, this, that, and the other. If you're talking about a real citizens grand jury, has been around for almost 1,000 years under the common law, I think it's a great thing. But the problem is we've got to recapture that because, for instance, at the federal level, and that's been mandated by the Constitution at the federal level, in 1946 they passed the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, and those rules do not even acknowledge the ability of a citizen's grand jury proceeding. It's in the Constitution, but it's not in the rules, so they never do it. The judges don't inform the grand juries of what their powers are, that they can go to an independent investigator, that they can go to maybe seek out an independent prosecutor, that they can do an independent investigation on their own. They don't tell them this stuff, and the states are doing the same thing. In fact, I helped to rewrite part of our grand jury law last year for that same reason. But it's a tremendously powerful instrument at our control if we can get it back, But people have to understand the importance of it, and we're going to have to, at least in some of these states, we're going to have to fight for it. But, I mean, the whole purpose of a grand jury, a citizen's grand jury, was to stop the abuse of the government and to investigate the government, because it's just like you and I know, you're not going to get a local prosecutor to go after a county commissioner because they're probably members of the same party and they go out to the same clubhouses. So you've got to have an independent citizen grand jury that can investigate them and bring a presentment against them. And if the local guy doesn't want to touch it, you have to get an independent prosecutor. And that's one of the things we've done here in Kansas. We've changed the law so that they could go get an independent prosecutor that would give it at least a fair shake and not refuse to take care of it because of politics.
That was my question, because if the citizen's grand jury finds so-and-so senator or whoever guilty, how do you implement it? How do you implement the sentence? How do you implement the finding? What do you do? Who would you get to go after these people? How could that work?
If we
can't get anybody in our judicial system to follow the law, then who's going to go and implement the findings or the citizen's grand jury? So I think it's a wonderful mechanism, but I'm unsure of how it works.
Well, the way it works is they're supposed to be going to the prosecutors. But again, you need to have, and it depends on the state, because some states have different mechanisms, because you can go, in some states you could go to a state-level prosecutor, or you could even go to law enforcement and have them confirm. And there's lots of different mechanisms to do it. But you do have to have a mechanism where you can get to an independent prosecutor, not to a regular city or county attorney to do it, because they may be corrupt as well. And so you do have to have a mechanism to go to an independent prosecutor. Now, you're never going to get away from the federalist principles that we have, and that is that the prosecutor is always going to have discretion not to prosecute. And that's, we need to have that. But on the other hand, you need to be able to go to an independent prosecutor, not to one of the commissioner's friends that happens to be in office that the commissioner probably helped elect to office.
Yeah, that seems to be the big problem.
Well, and there's
you're absolutely right. We had in our county, we sued the county commissioners, and we brought them up on ethics charges because they were stealing from our community. They were stealing our money and using it throughout the county while our roads in our community were deteriorating. And we had set up a special assessment, a special tax, that we wanted as the community, and that tax was supposed to go for roads and to keep the roadway mowed and, make sure that the community looked nice at all times. And instead of doing that, the county took the money and they put it in the general fund, and they're using it all over the county. So we gave them a gift, is essentially what it amounted to. This is now, we're up to the fourth year of litigation. And it just appears to me as though there is no appetite for this in our state government. They are not interested. When I filed ethics charges, against one of our county commissioners because when I went to one of the meetings and I went to speak, he turned to the county attorney and said, "Can't you make her shut up and sit down and tell her to stop talking? We don't need this talk in our board meeting." And I wasn't being anything other than telling them they can't steal our money. I wasn't cursing or loud or anything like that. I was just explaining that they were stealing our money and couldn't steal our money.
Yeah, you just didn't understand that they were in charge. That was the real problem.
Yes, exactly.
Karen, I double-checked on it. It's Florida Statute 100.361. Yes, we can recall them. who may be recalled according to Florida statute, any member of the governing body of a municipality or charter county hereinafter referred to in this section as municipality may be removed from office by the electors of the municipality. They go and give you some of the seven allowable grounds. Drunkenness and incompetence are in there, and also conviction of a felony involving moral turpitude. And then the permanent inability to perform official duties, malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty. I mean, I think we have plenty of grounds to it from everything I see. But then they go into the trickery. From the point that the recall is approved, you've got 30 days to get all the signatures you need to in order to get them out of there. And then, of course, you have to have them all approved in the other games. But there are ways to recall in Florida.
Yeah, and you need to, and there, you know, we've had those problems too. They tried to kill the grand jury, the citizen grand jury here, and the reasoning of it was that it had been used several times against one of the county governments because saying that the county government was corrupt, which they were, but it was causing disruption of the county government, right? Because the citizens were getting grand juries against them, and I think in one case got a conviction. And so they were going to make the percentage of signatures you had to get so high and the time period to get them so low that there's no way you could possibly do it. Well, I helped fight that off. We put an end to that nonsense. But you do have to be careful about those types of things. And frankly, if you look at Colorado has a provision that you can recall your elected officials because. I mean, there is no, you know, just because. And I think that's the way it needs to be. Because, you know, some of the stuff they do, it's very difficult to prove it's illegal. A lot of them won't go after them because of unethical.
Okay, Richard, are you still there?
Oh, looks like we lost Richard.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're
hello?
Back.
We're back.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Did you lose my rant? Did you miss out on my rant?
Yes, we did.
About five or ten.
Really, what I was saying though is the bottom line is I think here's what I'm encouraging in Kansas is that we adopt a recall provision similar to that in Colorado, because you can recall them just because, and sometimes that's the reason you want to do it because you can't always catch them at you can't catch them at violating the some law. And what they're doing, they're violating their oaths to the Constitution or something of that nature. They're just incompetent. And so that's what I recommend is you try to push for a constitutional amendment to allow recall, and part of it would be just because.
I like that. I think that's a good
idea. If you can't, if you can't get them prosecuted for doing some of this nonsense like you're talking about, your second best choice is to get them out of there. And again, I don't know how to put the fear of God into them, but I know how to put the fear of the people into them, and that's what they need.
You're right.
Yeah, I find it. One thing real quick. We're talking about Florida and how you process do stuff. I mean, there's been people, organizations, this was years ago, trying to go out there and take the rights back to the people, to the local communities about property planning, community planning, to help prevent this land grab and these things. And the same is true for any kind of trying to get anything changed in the Constitution or state Constitution and these things. Again, they play so many games. The system is so rigged. It's very difficult when you've got the money and these evildoers that are in public office controlling the game. It's possible, but that's the frustration because you go out there, and then you have the court or whoever it is who goes through and approves the signatures and this and that. Nothing's right. It's just you just feel at times very frustrated, and this is the frustration that many of us have trying to change state law. We shouldn't have closed primaries. Why do we have closed primaries and things like that too?
But the real solution to that is, as Karen says, is an educated population. Because, I mean, a good example of that is here in Kansas. Here in Kansas, they passed the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and there's one in Florida now going around that was modeled after Kansas, and it comes through the Tenth Amendment Center, and they believe in this state nullification stuff. Well, what the bill did is, number one, it acknowledged that the federal government had constitutional authority to regulate firearms that had entered interstate commerce either before or after a retail sale. That's absolutely false. The federal government has absolutely no authority to regulate firearms, not firearms, arms, in any manner whatsoever. The second thing was that they absolutely forbid state law enforcement from interfering with federal agents that come into the state to unconstitutionally arrest citizens on firearm violations or to confiscate their firearms from them. It absolutely forbid them to get involved. And that's an absolute violation of the state's duty under allegiance and protection. Their absolute duty is to interpose, to get between the federal government and their citizens and say, you have no authority to regulate firearms. You are not going to arrest this person in this state. It will not happen here. But the key is the people have to be, because the people supported this bill, and there's a lot of people supporting it in Florida. They supported it, and it undermined our constitutional system of government. I mean, it's absurd. People were thinking it was a wonderful thing.
Wow.
Sometimes
you just don't know what to say anymore. I'm never the words. But I hear you, Richard, and my fear right now is our Florida government is, to me, right now, the way I feel about it, they are owned hook, line, and sinker by Jeb Bush. And it just appears as though they won't breathe, they won't do, they won't pass, they won't talk, they won't anything unless it has his approval. That's what it appears like.
People want a Messiah that's going to come along and take away the problems. That's what they want, and there is no Messiah. We've had one Messiah. He's not back yet. He's supposed to be coming back. But I can guarantee you Jeb Bush is not the Messiah. And we have that same thing here in Kansas with Chris Kobach. You know, no matter what he says, he's a big promoter of this Article 5 nonsense. People want to believe him just because he says it. And that's nuts. That's a short road to tyranny when you start doing that kind of nonsense.
And that's where we're headed. That's exactly where we're going to be headed if we keep on doing this. Every time they send around, Jeb Bush for president, you want to puke. But again, that comes from, as Sally was saying before, it's the lack of history. And you're right, Fox did a bang-up job. If you didn't know the Bush family the way we know the Bush family, you would have thought they were goddesses and gods after watching that show on Fox. And I turned it off. I got so disgusted with them lying and knowing what you know about them. And that, to me, is a huge problem. If we don't start as the electorate, as the people, as the controllers, as the employers, if we don't manage our employees better and pay attention to their actions, not their words. Their words are cheap. You have to look at their actions and see what they have actually done, see what policies, what procedures they have actually put forth. Before we put these people in office, are we that stupid? Someone sent around yesterday Bush and Hillary Clinton. Which would be my choice? And I said, neither. I'm not that stupid. Are you? Because
none of
how
the
could
above.
You even begin
but,
to think
but the
of
answer,
one of them?
But the answer to that is most people are. I mean, look at the nonsense of the Article 5. Their premise is citizens. The problem that we have with our republic is not your fault. It's the politicians' fault because they don't obey the Constitution. And so what we're going to do is don't worry about it. You don't have to fix it. You don't need to worry about it. We're going to fix it. We're going to have an Article 5 convention. We're going to fix it for you. Well, think about that. Whose responsibility is it to keep the servants in line? It's the master, and we are the master. It's our job to keep them in line. If they're doing things wrong, it's our job. And if it's not going right, it's our job to fix it. But, that, you know, people are going, oh, yeah, that's right. It's not my fault. It's the politician's fault. It's not my job to fix it. It's somebody else's job to fix it. Well, and that gets right back to what you're talking about. It's some more of that communist philosophy. You know, somebody else is going to do everything for us. Don't worry about it. Somebody else is going to take care of it for us.
Well, and I refuse, and Karen and I think, are on the same page. When I went to school, I was taught to address every elected public servant. I call them public servants because that's what they are. I was taught, well, you have to say the Honorable Representative Congressman John Mica. And, of course, I puke when I say John Mica. You know, and that's the way you were brainwashed up then, in this nobility that these people have been given through the corruption of education.
Yes. Well, look, I went up to talk to one of my representatives last week, and I sat down with this guy. I was talking to him about Article 5, and he immediately started trying to blow smoke up my nose. And I had to stop him, and I had to interrupt him a couple times to get him to stop. And I said, John, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand what our relationship is, because we're not going to get along unless you do that. Number one, I am not a traveling salesman. I am not a lobbyist. I am not here to get you to do me favors. I have a moral duty and a patriotic duty to make sure you do your job and uphold the Constitution, and I take it seriously, and I am going to do that. If you don't understand that, we're going to have a bad relationship. And we've got to tell them that, because they are not gods. They're not above us like they'd like to think. They're our servants. And their job is not to tell us what's best for us. Their job is to say, yes, Mr. Fry, I'll do that, because the majority of people have asked, and it's within the Constitution, I'll do it. That's their job. They're a servant. And now what we are is the servants are expecting us to wait on them and to step and fetch it for them. And that's not the way it's supposed to work, and we've got to stop that nonsense.
Well, one of the things that I started telling everybody when I talk is that stop is what Sally was saying, the honorable, the this, the that, stop. Stop giving them titles. I am very polite when I speak to someone, and I call them by their first or their last name, Mr. So-and-so or Steve or Mr. Sutherland. I'm not going to give him the title of representative when he's not representing anything that I want him to represent. A few things. You know, a couple of things he did good. But that doesn't matter. Overall, if we have to get back, we the people have to get back to putting them on equal footing and recognizing that if we're going to be the employer, then we have to act like the employer. We have to be the employer. We can't wish that the employee is going to be the employer, and then you're mad at the employee.
I think most of us understand, and we have a social civility, and we understand we have a Christian responsibility to treat people with respect, and I understand that, and I do. I try to be polite to all of them, but if they're going to be condescending to me, if they're not going to listen to me, then my duty is not to be polite. My duty is to bring them into line. That's my duty. It's not an option. It's not an option. And if I don't do my duty, then my fellow citizens, including my family, have to pay the price for that. And I'm not going to make other people pay the price because I'm too stupid or lazy or too timid to do what my moral responsibility is.
You know, and I think that that's a big part of the problem. People don't realize that our founders, they had the same arguments. They had the same discussions. Some of the meetings that they had in some of their conventions, there were fistfights. Now, I'm not advocating that, but there were disagreements. Everybody is never going to agree on everything all the time. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, but it's like anything else. If you're an adult, you can disagree. You sit down at the table. You take your disagreements. You discuss it, and then you come to a real conclusion. I believe that one of the biggest issues that created all of this was the political correctness, because it takes away your ability to call somebody out when they're doing wrong because you feel that you're not being politically correct. We need to stop that immediately.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a fundamental problem that we have in this country. When somebody lies to you, you particularly your servant, particularly your public servant, you need to say, you lied to me. You know, I had people chastise me because we had a governor that literally went out and campaigned. He was a federal senator, campaigned for governor, and he kept saying his big deal was Obamacare is unconstitutional, it's socialism, and it's going to break the budget of Kansas. And before he ever took office, he signed an agreement with the federal government to implement Obamacare in the state. He took $31.5 million to do it. And when I publicly called him out and said he was being deceptive and dishonest, I had people say, well, you can't say that. That's the governor. Well, the hell, I can say that. He is the governor, and he should be above that kind of conduct.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And call him out. And that's something, listeners, call them out. When you hear things that are not true, it's your job, it's your duty, politely, to tell the truth. And make them tell the truth and make them be accountable. And when you go to where, you know, now we're going to be facing all of these town halls and, you know, hours and hours of debating and all kinds of things like that. The most important thing is the truth. And don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. When you say to a politician, do you believe in the Constitution? And he says yes, and you give him a pass because you go, oh, check, I checked that one off. He believes in the Constitution. Well, sure he could believe it. Did he ever read it? Why didn't you ask him if they ever read the Constitution?
Yeah, you can find out pretty quickly whether or not they understand the fundamentals of the Constitution. I mean, one of them, you just got to ask them, do you believe that any federal enactment is constitutional unless this court says it's not? If they tell you they believe that, then they absolutely don't even understand the basis of their oath of office. Everyone that takes that oath has to make a personal determination for themselves that an enactment that either is proposed or that has already been enacted is constitutional. They can't wait for a court to decide it, and they can't wait for somebody else to decide it. It's their job, and they need to understand that.
Yes. And I found it very curious that in 2010, Boehner read the Constitution on the floor of the House. And that was the last time they did that. Very, very curious.
Last time they read, period.
You know? So it doesn't exist because we read it in 2010, so we knew it. No. I would like to have an amendment that says in order before you even get there, you have to go through a class. Because we know you didn't get it in college, we know you didn't get it in high school, but you have to go through a class where you actually read and understand the Constitution. And maybe we would have a fair shot about enactment of rules and laws if they actually understood what they were to match them to. Or what's wrong with making a law and then finding the statute, you know, finding the article in the Constitution that allows that law to be a law? Why don't we do something like that? Why don't we say, you know,
Wait a minute, Karen. They do. They passed it just a couple years ago. They passed it. But it doesn't matter. They don't care. And, in fact, I think one of the guys that promoted that rule, it's a rule in the House, one of the guys that promoted it, as I recall, turned around and said, you know, you weren't supposed to say the necessary and proper clause. That wasn't good. You're supposed to be specific because necessary and proper clause only relates to some other specific clause, right? And
right.
One of them that actually supported this was doing that. He would say, oh, necessary and proper clause. Nonsense. But nobody called him out on it. Nobody calls him out on that nonsense.
And don't forget, there was the they refused to pass the Enumerated Powers Act, too, and that's been out there for, like, I think 20 or 30 years now. I want to make sure you guys know, and I don't know if you just heard the news, this apparently just happened today, which is perfect for this discussion. Fatal shooting along U.S.-Mexico border near San Diego involves Border Patrol agents. So we've got more killings down there on our border. This just came out and involving the Border Patrol agents. Border Patrol is not confirming who was fatally killed at this point. But,
I wonder whose weapons they were. Do you suppose they're Eric Holder's weapons that you were used to do the killing?
I would venture a guess to say yes.
Why isn't there some federal officers going to prison over that? Because, you know, it's illegal to do that. What they did in terms of supplying those drug cartels with weapons, that was absolutely against the federal law. Federal agents don't have the authority to break federal law. Why in the hell isn't somebody going to jail? We've lost federal agents that have been murdered by these weapons. Somebody needs to go to jail.
You're absolutely right. And that, of course, you know, we go back to the same thing. You get Obama, who's going to give Holder a pardon, and Holder, who's going to give Obama a pardon. So that's the question. When you've got these two criminals and you've got a Congress that says, oh, no, we can't impeach, remember what happened to Clinton. Well, yeah, go back and remember what happened to Clinton. One thing has nothing to do with the other.
Well, Clinton lied to Congress, period. You cannot, this is that moral issue again. You cannot refrain from doing your moral duty because it may not be effective, or because somebody down the road may nullify it, or because it makes you unpopular. That has nothing to do with it. And I hear this stuff all the time from these legislators, particularly these state legislators. Well, Mr. Fry, that's a good piece of legislation. I really support it, but I can't do that because it'll never pass. I don't care if it will pass. It's the right thing to do. You do it. You stand in faith. You have the courage to go forward. And if nothing else, we'll find out the bums that don't agree with the Constitution. That's worth it to me. You know, but they want to have a little check in their box, a little win box, right? And so they get little points for that if they have legislation that passes. I don't care about them. I don't care about their political needs. I'm worried about the Republic and my needs.
Right. And that's, you know, that's something that I also ask the people when they tell me that, he's such a good guy, and he, does he know you? Does he care about you? Does he think about you? No. The only one that thinks about you is you. And if you don't take care of you, who else is going to? Because they're certainly not. And I think, you know, I know, that's part of, that is a big part of our problem. They think that, the people think that if that particular congressman, they've got it so ingrained in their head, oh my God, if I don't vote him back in office, you know, there's going to be nobody there to take care of me. And that's so wrong. So wrong, because the only one that's going to care of you is you, and the only one that can be responsible for you is you. And
well,
right now, what's going on is—it's so evident. I don't know if you had the opportunity last night to see Glenn Beck. He had on a father whose daughter was diagnosed in Tufts, and she has a rare disease. Was taking chemo, was getting better, was doing very well, and developed the flu. And the doctors at Tufts told her to go immediately to Boston Children's Hospital. This was a year ago. Go to Boston Children's Hospital and get the treatment there because her immune system was low, and then they wanted to make sure everything was okay. She goes to Boston Children's Hospital. The doctors at Boston Children's Hospital, who are more psychologists than anything else, decided that what was wrong with the girl was in her mind, and that the doctors in Tufts were not treating her properly. And how dare they, and what was wrong with her and the parents for allowing them to put a tube in her, you know, in her body so that she would be able to go to the bathroom, make it easier for her, things like that. This girl is being tortured. Yesterday, the father was on on Glenn Beck's show, and the pictures of this child are horrific. She is now paralyzed from the waist down. They refuse to give her any medication. They refuse. They will only allow the parents to see her for an hour a day. For 2 hours a week. They can speak to her for 20 minutes a day. They have absolutely no rights for their child, and they're watching their child die in front of their eyes. Nothing anybody can do, and this is what's coming down the road. This is what we're going to be facing. So all of these little things is what happens, and people say, it doesn't affect me. When it affects me and my pocketbook and it hurts me, then I'll pay attention to it. And that's, we should be paying attention to all of these things now, today, before it gets to the spot that is so disastrous that our children, that we are in a position that there is literally nothing that we can do. Because I see that coming. I see that coming
every
blinders on.
Well,
I,
and it
I
does.
I was just, I heard part of that too, when every American should be outraged.
It is unbelievable.
It scares me because I've seen what you're talking about in terms of, there's a slightly different aspect of what you talked about, but we have most of our citizens out there that are more concerned about their taxes. They want fair tax and just tax and all this tax, and they're more concerned about that than they are their liberty. And, you know, what I try to tell them is, you take care of the liberty issues and the rest of it will take care of itself. You know, we're out there praying to the golden calf now, worrying about our money and our taxes, and we're not worried about our liberty. When we take care of that liberty stuff, all the rest of it is going to take care of itself.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because if we, well, again, we go back to the original premise. If we followed the Constitution, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because it's all laid out, and it's laid out loud and clear, and it screams at us. But it's like I said last night, the Constitution is really just a piece of paper. And it's our duty, it's our job to make sure that every citizen in America understands what's on that piece of paper, because the paper is not going to go jump into somebody's hand and all of a sudden say, here I am, let me explain myself. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And if we don't take that upon ourselves to do that, the road to liberty is going to be gone, and it will be gone for a very, very, very long time. Very long time.
Well, and it's getting worse. You know, they changed the federal law. We had a federal law that said the federal government could not perpetrate propaganda on the American people. And they changed that law. It was either last year or the year before. That allows the government to dish out propaganda to the American public. And their excuse was they had to do that to fight terrorism, right? It's like Nazi Germany. You know, the Germans willfully, voluntarily, lawfully handed over complete and total control of their country to Hitler. Because he was saying, you know, oh, it's the communist terrorists are after us. We got to do something. And so they just wiped out their own liberty and handed it all over to Hitler. And that's right where we're going today. That's exactly where we're going today.
Right. I just got an email from a listener, and she said, they came to my child's school on February 5th. They searched the kids. Many security, this is in Orlando, in southwest Orlando. They searched the kids. Many security agents were present. Parents were not saying anything, but they accepted the illegal search and seizure in our schools. It's getting very scary out there, and I'm so frightened that my kids will get in trouble for nothing.
And what are they doing, Matt? Why are they doing it? They're indoctrinating those kids to accept the presence of armed government officials and to do whatever those armed government officials tell them to do. That's what's going on. That's what that is all about right there.
It is you are exactly right. They are preparing us for the presence of government agents. I feel like... I remember when I traveled and I went overseas, and the first thing you do when you get off the plane, and it was in Italy, the first thing we did when we got off the plane, and you go through customs, but you see all of the police with arms all over the place. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I'm so glad we live in America. We don't have that. We don't have that.
Yeah.
Problem. Well, that's common.
Wake up.
Wake
up. It's your... Well, you know, and I asked myself, I say, what is it going to take? Because when they started doing committing sexual battery on our mothers and daughters and wives at the airports, I thought the people would not put up with it. But I go out there and I see these people standing in line and just watching the government sexually battering their children and their wives and their mothers, and I think, my God, what kind of a people have we become? We all know that that is useless. It's not. It doesn't have anything to do with security. You know, I mean, it's nonsensical. But so what does it take when they start pulling us out of our houses and shooting us in the street? I mean, they're already committing sexual battery on our families. So what does it take? When do we stand up and say enough's enough? I don't know. When they take our guns, is that it? When we don't have any way to fight back? I'm not sure what, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, there's some good news, and I like to end the show on good news. And, Sally, this ties up with what you were talking about before. This is an email that just came in just now, and this was from a friend who was at the meeting in Orlando on Common Core. She said, I must say I am so proud to be among the dedicated and articulate speakers at the State Board of Education hearing today clarifying why we will never give in to Common Core. Today's impassioned testimony at Board of Education meeting in Orlando showed a disappointing and disgusting lack of respect on the part of the chair, Gary Charand. Here is the link to the entire meeting. Every single one that spoke was excellent. And now what has happened in the state of Florida, it is a continuation of the arrogance shown by the Department of Education, the governor, and some members of the state legislature. We have been polite. They have ignored us. We have brought experts to them, and they said our facts was wrong. They said the parents should be in control. They said the federal government knows best what to do with our kids. The State Board of Education, in a unanimous vote, adopted the Common Core standards with minor changes.
Recall.
Some of the names. Yes.
Recall. Yes. Recall. Recall. Say that. Then think of that. Think of the nonsense of that. They are telling the people that the people are wrong. Their facts are wrong. I don't care if the people's facts are wrong. If they don't want Common Core, they shouldn't have Common Core because they're the sovereigns. I don't care if they're wrong. They are right. I know they're right. I've studied the issue. They're right. But I don't care if they're right. That's what this arrogant government doesn't understand. They're supposed to do what we tell them, not tell us what's best for us in their opinion.
Absolutely. And this is the perfect example as to why the Department of Education go away. I mean, this is any parent now after this. We were just talking to a group of pastors, and I asked them how they felt about Common Core. They were horrified. And the next question was, don't you have some retired teachers or teachers in your congregation? Why not start a school in the church? And they're seriously considering starting a school in the church because the only answer is going to be to get your kids out of those government indoctrination clinics. There isn't any other answer. And after this, and the fact that no matter what the people say, the elected officials and the Department of Education refuses to listen?
No.
to listen? I mean, that
yeah.
to me, every single one of them, including the governor, should be recalled. And
well, it seems to me that qualifies as neglect of duty. I don't know if we call it drunkenness, but definitely incompetence and permanent inability to perform official duties. It seems like we've got grounds to recall every one of those sorry you-know-what.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. The people need to assert themselves and kick their butts out. Maybe this Common Core, since it's such a core issue, such an emotional issue, fundamental issue, maybe that's the one that people will start to rally around and get take back some of their power.
You're right. You're right.
And a lot of it, I believe, it has to come from the people. But I think more and more we are seeing that we have a group of individuals, whether they are state, whether they are federal, doesn't make any difference, because they don't seem to believe that it is the people that they should be getting their directions from. Maybe they're not used to hearing from the people, but that's too bad, because people are speaking now, and now is the time to make those impressions heard. This is a total disgrace between what Rick Scott has done with Common Core and what he is doing with the land grabs. He doesn't even belong as dog catcher, and I feel bad for the dog.
Yes,
and the GOP
absolutely.
The GOP won't even consider anybody else. They said 2 years ago they were going to endorse him again. They don't care what he does. I mean, it was absolutely no difference. So this is why the Republican Party of Florida is nothing but a bunch of manure, and we do not fund it. But people have got to make sure they don't give money to these stupid political parties.
Where do people think that these politicians learn to behave the way they do? They learn inside the political parties. That's where they learn how to behave. The political parties are the same way. They don't listen. I went to the GOP convention in Tampa in August. You know, the 2012. That was like watching the Kremlin operate. They don't care what the people say. They were turning off microphones. They were blocking aisles. They were doing anything they could to keep the grassroots people, the GOP grassroots, from expressing an opinion, because you had people like Boehner and Sununu and the other elitist globalist folks that had their own agenda, and they didn't care about the people. And that's where these are the people that didn't go to office, and then they continue on the same behavior, and then we're all surprised. You know, and then they try to sell us on this, the lesser of two evil. Well, it's a lesser of two. That's what I hear from these Republicans around here. Well, it's a lesser of two evil. No, it's not. And I don't have the authority to vote for the lesser of two evil. My Bible tells me to support good, and if there is no good, you don't get any support.
That is
right.
Definitely one of the most annoying things, and I have heard it over and over again. I go back to George Washington, who warned us of what the political parties would do to us. It's so true, and I tell people, I said, I'm sorry, if you want to blame me for the election, go right ahead, but I'm voting for my conscience. I'm not going to hold my nose. I'm not going to vote for this garbage when we have people who actually have some kind of principles, or at least appear to, but I know if they're associated with these parties, they have no principles.
Absolutely. And you can't do that. That's immoral. For someone to vote for the lesser of two evils is a vote for evil, and it's an immoral act.
Yes. And frankly, right now, the two choices in Florida from the D's and the R's are both evil and therefore do not deserve a vote. And I'm talking about Charlie Crist and Rick Scott. And we do have an alternative. And his name is Adrian Wiley, and yes, he is a libertarian, and who cares? Because it's time that we stop looking at the D's and the R's and the L's and the C's and whatever else it happens to be, and we actually speak to the candidates, and we actually see what their actions are and have been, and what they will do to stand for the people. Because repeating the same mistake over and over again is, as we know, the definition of insanity, and it's time to stop being insane. It's time to get off of this kick of I'm going to be a D or an R because my mommy and my daddy was a D or an R and it's in my family. Well, I'm sorry. It's a different family today than it was 50, 60 years ago. 50, 60 years ago, you had a family that actually had moral fiber, had a family life, paid attention to God, paid attention to the raising of their children. And today, too many families are not. They're too busy worrying about what the Kardashians are doing than they are worrying about what their children are doing. And their children
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask all of our listeners to please make a call to Scott Brown in Massachusetts. I just thought of that. Now, he's not a senator today, but he certainly knows the way the Senate works. And he is in Massachusetts, and he should be able to help this family get their daughter back. And remember that, folks.
because just as Richard said, we are turning the page and walking right into Nazi Germany. And my family was one of the groups that we said, never again. And I want to know, when did never again become again? Because we are not paying attention. And so my motivation, and as is many motivation, is never again. I will never allow that to happen. I will never keep my mouth shut. I will never not tell the truth. And I will never not hold someone accountable. I don't care who they are. It doesn't matter. When you do wrong, you do wrong. And that is what everyone should know. Period. And so that was my rant for the evening.
We all have to have one.
Amen.
I read those two things from these two listeners, and frankly, all it does is solidify the fact that we need some good people to run for office. Please, if you are in the sound of our voices and you listen to our show, and we hope you do, pass it along. But more important, run for office. You don't need a gazillion dollars. You just need to talk to the people. The people are looking for a leader, and anybody can be a leader in America. That's what's so wonderful about America. We all have the ability to lead, and that's what we need to do. We need to be leaders in our communities, in our families, in our states, because that's the only way we're going to fix anything. And so, Richard, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Folks, you've been listening to Richard Fry. Richard has done an amazing job on helping alert and educate people on the NDAA and its overreach of authority and what it will create. And now on the, convention of the states, quote, or parentheses, constitutional convention. It doesn't matter what name they call it. They could call it the convention of the moon. It won't make any difference. It's the same thing. Just because they change the name doesn't mean they change definitions. The definition is the same, and it is a bad idea, very, very bad idea. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If it is broke, fix it, and we have the power to fix it because the power is in our hands. We need to fix our families, our communities. We need to fix our states. We need to get back to God, and we need to start telling the truth. So thank you all for joining us this evening. You are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio American Statesman on Tuesday evening from and on Red State Talk Radio on redstatetalkradio.com on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday noontime, Wednesday noon, and Sunday evening, 12 o'clock. This is Karen Schoen. We're listening to Richard Fry, Valley Baptist, and we thank you all for joining us this evening. Good night, Sally and Richard, and good night to all of our wonderful listeners. May God be with you, and remember, victory is our only option. Thank
Amen.
You all for listening, and
Amen.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.